Muslim Brotherhood says the only solution to the crisis in Egypt is full restoration of constitutional legitimacy and reversal of the coup. This shortly after U.S. Deputy Secretary of State William Burns visited a senior Muslim Brotherhood official, Khairat al-Shatter, in prison. Shatter reportedly cut the meeting short, saying he should be talking to Morsi instead. The Brotherhood has rejected calls from Western and Arab envoys to accept that Mohamed Morsi will not return as president. What kind of a role is the U.S. playing in Egypt? What does it want? I'm Homa Lezgi, and you're watching The Debate.
As the crisis deepens in Egypt, debate is growing about Washington's role. These days, anti-U.S. sentiments are growing on both sides of Egypt's political divide. At rallies held by supporters and opponents of ousted President Mohamed Morsi, anti-U.S. slogans are common. Supporters of the interim government and the army accuse the U.S. of not strongly supporting Morsi's ouster. They say Washington has failed to use its leverage with the Muslim Brotherhood to resolve the current impasse. On the other side, Brotherhood supporters believe that the army would never have removed an elected president from power without the approval of the U.S. Meanwhile, Washington is busy with a flurry of diplomatic activities in Egypt to find a way out of the impasse. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State William Burns has met with officials from the interim government as well as top Brotherhood figures, including Khairat al-Shatter, who is currently in prison. Two Republican senators, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, are also in Egypt for an official visit. Robert Ford has also been named as Washington's new ambassador to the country. Ford is the former U.S. ambassador to Syria and one of the first figures who called for the ouster of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. In recent weeks, it has become more evident that Washington has a tendency toward Egypt's powerful generals. Recent remarks by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry in favor of the army clearly outline the White House's policy.
To run the country, there's a civilian government. In effect, they were restoring democracy.
And by killing people on the roads?
Oh no, that's not restoring democracy, and we're very, very concerned about that.
Now the question is, why is the U.S. so concerned about the developments in Egypt, and why is it struggling for a footing in the country? Well, that's where all fingers point to Israel. There is a $1.3 billion aid package at stake. That's what the U.S. gives to Egypt every year, with much of it going to the military. U.S. law forbids any kind of military aid to a nation whose democratically elected leader or government is overthrown. Many say that's why Washington is struggling with how not to call Morsi's ouster a military coup, as Morsi's supporters call it. Following the ouster of Egypt's president, there have been rising calls on the U.S. administration to cut the annual aid. But it seems pretty unlikely for President Barack Obama to get a serious chance to do so. Both the Israelis and a powerful pro-Israel lobby, AIPAC, insist that the aid continue to Egypt. In a letter to the U.S. Senate, AIPAC stated that cutting off aid to Egypt would undermine U.S. interests and negatively impact its number one ally, Israel. All of these developments underline why John Kerry says the Egyptian military stepped in to, quote, restore democracy. Washington's concerns are further unveiling the true nature of the U.S. policy toward the Middle East, a paradoxical policy that is defined by Washington's own political interests.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from Cairo is political analyst Mr. Mustafa Reza, and with us live from Detroit, editor of Pan-African Newswire, Mr. Abu Yomi Azikiwe. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. My first question to our guest in Cairo, Mr. Reza: why do you think the U.S. hasn't, up until now, adopted what could be described as a clear position in the wake of the ouster of President Morsi by the military? I mean, it refused to call the situation a coup, as was demanded by the Brotherhood. Then it spoke in favor of the military involvement, but it's also suspending its aid.
Well, the U.S. position really could be summarized as follows. The U.S. has gave strong support to the Muslim Brotherhood since Mr. Morsi came into power. And they have had a bet that the Muslim Brotherhood, after the downfall of the regime of President Mubarak, would be able to manage the country. Unfortunately, their perceptions were not true. And the Muslim Brotherhood actually failed to restore economic activities, restore political equilibrium, and even gave promises that could not be fulfilled. So there has been rejection from the Egyptian people, and this was evidenced by the coup d'etat, which I don't want to call it a coup d'etat, or the revolution which occurred on the 30th of June and supported by the government. The point is that now the U.S. Has changed. Oh, you see, they had a certain strategy built on that they are going to support the Muslim Brotherhood in order that the Muslim Brotherhood, in turn, are going to take care of their interests, which we could briefly discuss as maintaining peace with Israel and the security of Israel and respecting the Camp David Accord. So that's the point. Why was the U.S. supporting the Muslim Brotherhood? Mm. Now the U.S. has to change its strategy. It's in a real puzzle. This is evidenced also by sending a lot of diplomats. We had Mr. Burns, which was just here in Cairo. We have John McCain coming today, and other officials will be expecting to be coming within the next few days to see what will be the magnitude of this situation here in Egypt, because the U.S. Considers Egypt as a strategic partner, and it's quite important for the security of Israel and for the respecting of the Camp David Agreement. They don't want any instability in Egypt, because it's not going to be in the favor of the United States. Also, this was evidenced, as the news just mentioned now, that the U.S. Are, even Israel just now mentioned, that they are supporting not cutting the U.S. aid military aid to Egypt, because this would be against the U.S. interest in Egypt.
Okay, well, let's go to our guest in Detroit on this as well. Mr. Azaki, would you say that the United States is following a flip-flop policy, as some have said, in Egypt, and why, do you think?
They, of course, have a strategic interest in Egypt, throughout the entire region of North Africa, and indeed the Middle East. Egypt has been a loyal partner of the United States since the late 1970s. The U.S. Administration has invested, in fact, billions upon billions of dollars, largely within the military apparatus of Egypt. They, of course, have supported U.S. Military adventures in the region, going all the way back to the 1980s and 1990s through the AWACS program. Today, in regard to the so-called war on terror. So they do not want any instability in Egypt. They're willing to support a Muslim Brotherhood government if the government is willing to work on behalf or not to unsettle the strategic interests of the United States. They will also support a military-backed interim governing council because it reaffirms what has existed in regard to U.S.-Egyptian relations now for over 3.5 decades. I think they have no permanent friends, only permanent interests in Egypt. And this is exemplified by the fact that they have refused to categorize the developments on July 3rd as a military coup. At the same time, they're unsettled because the political atmosphere inside the country is still very fluid. There were demonstrations today. There were demonstrations Friday. There are people being killed almost on a daily basis in Egypt. And this does not bode well for the overall image of the United States in regard to their partnership with the Egyptian government.
Okay, well, let's just quickly go back to Cairo. Now, Mr. Reza, the U.S. and even the EU have been quite clear about one thing, at least, when it comes to Egypt, and that's been a clear call for Mohamed Morsi to be released. They've been asking for that. Why do you think they have made that very much clear about their stance? And do you think that the talks that are now taking place, the diplomatic efforts, are about forcing the military to release Morsi or to, you know, get him out of this situation with impunity or out of the way of prosecution?
Well, as I just mentioned since 5 minutes ago now, that the U.S. and Europe had built a lot on the Muslim Brotherhood and invested a lot of efforts and money in order to support them. And in the same time, they want a balanced political seen in Egypt. They want even that the Muslim Brotherhood to participate in the next elections and in take part in the political scene. That's why maybe also is a very, very important point that the release of Mr. Morsi might cut down the upheaval that we have here in Cairo, in Rabat, and in Cairo University. In case you release the president now, the ex-president, that would be a step in order that to calm down the protesters which are taking place in Nasser City, Rabat Adawi, and in Cairo University.
Okay, I'll
step
stop
forward to calm down the political situation.
Yes.
And in the same time, would be a chance.
Yes,
would be a chance
ahead.
To
go
give to the Muslim Brotherhood a chance to participate in the future political system.
Okay, I stop you there, Mr. Rezaei, because we had a little problem with your audio there, but I think that's resolved now. Before we continue with this debate, I'd like to give a chance to our viewers to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page about tonight's show. Let's take a look now.
How can the Egyptian people allow some well-known Islam haters to interfere in their domestic issues? Egyptians should decide their own future. They must not let the US or its regional allies take control of Egypt.
Two comments there posted by our Facebook viewers. I'll go straight to Detroit, Mr. Azakiwi. A lot of concern we were hearing on our Facebook page by viewers about the role that the United States may be playing in terms of intervention in Egypt's affairs. Some analysts have even gone as far as saying that what happened in Egypt was a US-backed coup d'etat, that this was actually a coup, though Washington is trying to look impartial about it, and that the reason they say is that the US wanted the military to retain its hold on Egypt and consequently to follow Washington's policies in the region. Would you go as far as saying that?
Yes, I would. The fact of the matter is they have a long-term working relationship with the Egyptian military that goes all the way back until the late 1970s under the former President Anwar Sadat. Of course, the Camp David peace accords that were went into effect in 1979 caused a lot of consternation throughout the entire region. Many states broke diplomatic relations with Egypt during this time period. Under Mubarak, we had a very similar political relationship between successive U.S. administrations and Mubarak's National Democratic Party, which in effect was backed heavily by the military because Mubarak himself came out of the Egyptian military. At the same time, they are willing to support other forces inside the country as long as they do not challenge the Camp David Accords,
mm-hmm.
as long as they do not interfere in the overall military and political and economic interests of the United States in the region. Once you have a coalition in Egypt that is willing to go against U.S. interests vis-a-vis Israel or its overall strategic outlook throughout the entire Middle East, then, of course, we will see opposition to governments inside of Egypt. But until this occurs, they are willing to work with any government in Egypt as long as they do not interfere with the overall outlook and objectives of the U.S. Administration.
Well, let's put this question to our guest in Cairo as well. Mr. Reza, would you say that the United States backed what we should call a coup, what others call a revolution or whatever, to push Morsi out of power? A lot of people are saying the fact that Morsi was trying to push the military out of politics in Egypt, the fact that it was, for instance, trying to have better ties with Iran, that it was not going ahead with intervention in Syria alongside Turkey. These are some of the points they said that made the U.S. want Morsi to be out of power.
I doubt very much that the U.S. played a role in the 30th of June revolution for one reason. If the U.S. wanted the military to control Egypt and rule Egypt, they had this chance when removed Mr. when Mr. Mubarak was removed, and we had the military institution ruling Egypt, though, so they could have supported the previous military council, and the military council could have governed the country till but actually, as just mentioned.
I'm afraid I've got to stop you, Mr. Reza. We have a problem there with Mr. Reza's voice reaching us from Cairo. We'll try to fix that problem just as soon as we can. But I'll put this next question to Mr. Azikiwe. Mr. Azikiwe, Mr. Reza was just pointing out there that if the United States wanted the military to have the most power in Egypt, it could have done so when the military had power following the 2011 revolution when Mubarak was ousted. What's your response to that?
The U.S. realized that the military in Egypt could not rule the country in perpetuity in light of the fact that you had this awakening among the youth and the workers and the intellectuals in Egypt. People did not want military rule during the course of 2011 and 2012 after the removal of Hosni Mubarak. Of course, many people were not satisfied with the candidacy of Ahmed Shafiq during the 2012 runoff elections, or with the Freedom and Justice Party candidate Mohamed Morsi, who was eventually designated as the winner of the June 2012 elections. Many of the young revolutionaries did not even participate in the electoral process because they were not satisfied with the vetting that took place, which screened candidates in regard to the eligibility for political office. And this, of course, was controlled by the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces. So if we look at the entire process that developed after the February 2011 removal of Hosni Mubarak from office, it was controlled largely by the Egyptian military. The Electoral Commission was appointed by them.
Yes.
And of course, they, even after the election of President Morsi, he did not have their support. They did not go along with many of the decisions that he made. And in fact, on July 3rd, they completely refused to obey his orders, usurped his authority, and are now holding him in detention at an undisclosed location. There's been many diplomatic delegations that have come into Egypt. The African Union sent one delegation in last week, headed by former Malian President Alpha Conaré and former Botswana President Festus Mugai. They met both with the military leadership as well as President Morsi, who is in detention. They have suspended Egypt pending the outcome of this political crisis inside the country. The European Union has also sent delegations as well. And of course, we have one today from the U.S. Senate with Lindsey Graham and John McCain. These delegations, of course, have different approaches to this crisis, but all of them want some resolution to this conflict.
Well, just before we move on with our guest in Cairo, who I think is now back with us on the line, I'd just like to give our viewers a chance to take a look at another comment that's been posted on our Facebook page. We'll take a look now and we'll come back.
If the revolution succeeds, that will mean an end to neoliberal economics and pro-Zionist foreign policy. Then the U.S. will deem Egypt to be a rogue nation like Iran, Syria, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe.
Now, our guest, Mr. Reza, who's with us on the line from Cairo. Mr. Reza, if you can hear me, that commentator there was saying that if Egypt moves toward a neoliberal economics and pro-Zionist foreign policy, first of all, do you think that Egypt is actually, from this stage on, moving toward a very different foreign policy and a very different economy that would benefit the nation of Egypt? What do you think are the obstacles, and do those obstacles involve foreign players? Mr. Reza. Okay, it looks like we've just lost him again. I do apologize for that. I'll put this question to Mr. Azikiwe, who's with us also live from Detroit. Mr. Azikiwe, I don't know if you heard the question, and that was, is Egypt, you think, from this stage on moving toward a foreign policy that, for instance, is against Israel and the Zionist policies, etc., or is moving toward, you know, an economy that would benefit the nation, what people have been criticizing about Morsi's government?
Egypt cannot move against U.S. interests, which include a separate peace treaty with the state of Israel, as long as it is dependent upon the economic, political, diplomatic, as well as military support of the White House and the Pentagon. They have a tremendous amount of resources invested in Egypt, and once Egypt breaks with the foreign policy imperatives of Washington, aid will be suspended. Military equipment that has been transferred now for decades from the United States to Egypt will be halted, and there will be efforts by the United States to interfere to an even greater degree in the internal affairs of the state of Egypt. And we have seen this repeatedly throughout Africa and throughout the Middle East. In Syria today, the intervention there is based upon the fact that the Syrian government takes an independent stance in regard to U.S. foreign policy. The same situation has existed in relationship to Iran as well as other nations.
Okay, I'm just hearing that hopefully Mr. Reza is back with us now on the line. Mr. Reza, can you hear me? Mr. Reza?
Yes, I'm with you. I can hear you.
Okay, okay. Now, I'll just put this last question to you quickly, if you can. Do you think that Egypt is moving toward becoming an independent state? Or do you think that we'll see foreign intervention, we'll see the United States following its policies and persuading the Egyptian officials to follow those same policies?
Definitely, Egypt is moving to another transition. And there'll be certain guidance, I don't want to call interference, but assistance and guidance from the United States, because as we have just mentioned now, the U.S. has a lot of interest here in Egypt. They have invested billions of dollars in U.S. aid. They care to have the Camp David and the security of Israel as a priority. So the U.S., what we should take care of very carefully is that the U.S., cares for its interest in Egypt regardless who is going to rule the country. And they're going to guide the governing body in Egypt and the president. They're going to guide them in order that they will fulfill their interest.
Okay, I'm afraid I've got to stop you because we've run out of time. A big thank you there to political analyst Mr. Mustafa Reza with us live from Cairo and editor of Pan-African Newswire Mr. Abu Yomi Azikiwe, who was with us live from Detroit. From Miho Malesgi, until our next program, it's goodbye.